Yes, says one of the small group leaders.
Yes.
Come on. Hey, if you are new at Grace or newer to Grace, we would love for you to take a minute and text the word hello to the number that's on the screen, and we will commit to getting back to you. So when I call you this week and you don't answer because it's a foreign number, just answer this week because it's me calling you from the 313. Okay, so people, all right? So I'm going to call you and I'm going to see how your visit was, but we would love to know that you're here. If you are new at Grace, I just want to let you know that today is going to be different than a normal service, and we would love for you to come back maybe next week, Mother's Day, and join us for what I guess would be a little bit more of a traditional service. But we are going to do things a little bit different. We are in this series that we've called We Are. It's just a chance for us to step back and talk about who we are as a church, what makes Grace Community Church, Grace Community Church, what are some of the things that make us unique, and just as importantly, what does it mean for you? How do you fit into all of that? What is the DNA of the church? And as I have been reflecting this week on the news that we're about to share with you, it's been very clear to me that much of what I've been preaching and what I've been saying is being put to the test, if you will, or we're having to apply the very things we're talking about. So one of the things we said as we talked about the fact that we are a word and spirit church is that when it comes to healing, we believe that God still is in the business of miracles, and we believe that God still heals. And the phrase that we use comes out of Rock Bottomley's book, Promise Power. When it comes to healing, we believe that he often does. Sometimes, though he does not, but either way, God is good. Amen, church? Either way, God is good. One of the things I love about what Rock gave us was the idea when we say that phrase, when it comes to healing, he often does, he would always say, and he does it more often than we think he will. When we are faithful, when we come to God in faith, when we pray for healing, God often does it, but he does it more often than we even expect him to. But we know that sometimes he doesn't. Either way, God is good. And we are going to take some time this morning to pray for one of our very own who is going through some pretty rough stuff. Meg's going to explain that to you in just a minute. But we are serious about when we say who we are, we want to live that out. So we've said we are a mosaic, right? That was the first week. We're striving to live like Jesus is a mosaic. We are a word and spirit church. We talked about that. Last week I talked about we are a church that's fostering this culture of prayer. We want to go deeper and learn more about what it means to be a church of prayer. And again, Meg, if you want to come on up. But the most important thing that I want you to hear this morning is we are a family. And when one of our family members is hurting, all of us are hurting. And this morning, we're just going to share some news that's been heartbreaking in a lot of ways, the news. But we're going to pray as a church through some of that news, and we're just going to see what God is doing. So I'm going to let Meg share what's going on, and then I'll set up the rest of the service for you. So, Meg?
Good morning, Grace. Good morning. Look at that beautiful family. Kevin and Kayla and Kennedy and Kaya and Caden. We're just so fortunate to have Kevin on the staff here.
For sure. Amen.
Last weekend, Kevin and Kayla were diagnosed with COVID. And Kayla is 8 months pregnant, and she was having a difficult time with the COVID. And so her OB suggested that she go to the emergency room. And she was admitted. And she didn't seem to be improving. So they ran a battery of tests, and it was discovered that Kayla has AML, which is an aggressive form of leukemia. They're both recovering from COVID. Did you want to?
Yeah. No.
Okay. I thought you wanted to add something. So the next step is for Kayla, who's 8 months pregnant, to be induced so that the baby will be born and they can begin treatment right away. And so Kayla sent me a text last night, and I want to share it to you so that you can hear what's going on in her words. The plan is for me to be admitted Monday evening for a non-medication. It means she can't have any pain medication. induction due to my risk for bleeding. Once we have the baby, he will likely go straight to the NICU, and I won't be able to see him due to my recent COVID. And same for Kevin, he can't see him either. Kevin and I will get probably one day together to recover in the hospital, and they'll take me over to oncology unit to start treatment right away. It's inpatient for 3 weeks with no visitors and the most intense chemo I'll endure, hence the need for isolation. I'll lose my hair and be sick for that time, but most people definitely get to go home after the initial 3 weeks while awaiting further treatment, which mine will always require inpatient. Kevin will get to bring the baby home when he's ready and strong enough to be discharged. My mom, grandma, and dad will all be here to help. I'm struggling the most with not getting to see my baby for the first month or so.
It's crazy.
And being away from Kevin and my girls. This wasn't a choice, but due to the aggressive nature of my diagnosis, we're just doing our best to take one thing at a time. It's a storm I have to face head on if I want any chance of being around my family and my people.
Sure, I'm here for you.
I can only use those for reading. So we are going to hold this family up. They're part of our family. And this week I have been reflecting on a scripture from Mark 6, and it's where Jesus walks on the water and he gets in the boat with the disciples. And last night as I was looking over it again, I noticed it was sandwiched between two stories. And the first story is when Jesus and the apostles, they fed the 5,000. And I thought, that's Kevin and Kayla. That is their ministry. They have been here at Grace for a year and a half doing God's good work and breathing life into the youth ministry.
The youth ministry is just going.
Yeah, it's just been awesome what's happening in the youth ministry. And you know what? Now they're at sea and the wind is coming against them.
For sure.
And Jesus sees them. And when Jesus walked on water to the apostles, he could have calmed the wind and kept going and said, I'll see you on the other side. But he got in the boat, and he saw them through. And when they got to the other side, they picked up and did ministry again. And that's God just gave me this image of Kevin and Kayla, that he's in the boat with them, and we're in the boat with them. And we're going to see them through, and we're going to get to the other side, and we're going to pick up and keep going. And it's going to make them stronger and us stronger, our church stronger. So while our hearts are heavy, our hearts mostly are filled with hope for what God is up to, and he is going to get the glory for all of this.
Amen. All right. Thank you. You can take that. So last week when I talked about the culture of prayer, one of the things I said is there are seasons of time that require much more of a vigil. Remember, we talked about the passage where Jesus went up on the mountain and he prayed all night, and then he came down from the mountain and chose his 12 disciples. And we said, are there times in your life that require all-night prayer, for instance, or a more extended time of prayer? And I think this is one of those times. One of our pastors and his family, it's hard for me to even wrap my mind around the amount of trauma that they are facing going through this. So we are going to pray for them. We are going to pray for them intentionally. So a few things that I'll explain to you as we go. But one of the things I want to tell you is tomorrow we are asking the church to fast and pray. However you want to do that, whether it's giving up a meal or whether just having water during the day or some juice during the day, we want to stop and we want to fast throughout the day, and we want to pray for Kayla, pray for this baby, pray for the induction, pray for a miracle, pray for healing, pray as the Spirit leads you to pray. But tomorrow we're just going to call the church to a day of intentional prayer, a time of, if you will, a prayer vigil. I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture, and we're actually just going to give you a chance to pray now as well. That's what we're going to do for the rest of the service. We're going to pray, and then we'll take communion together. And we will just ask the Lord to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. I talked to many people after the first service who just were ready. We're ready to hold these guys up in prayer. We're ready to see God do a miracle. And we're ready to help them to walk through the storm that Meg talked about. So this is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. As I read this, listen to the promises, because that's what we want to pray. We want to pray the promises of Scripture over our friends. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor an arrow flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near you. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands he will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, and young lion and the serpent, and you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is Psalm 103, the first five verses. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, listen to church, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, and who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The scriptures tell us, and Jesus said, come to me when you are weary and I will give you rest. Right? He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And scripture tells us if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. So what I'm going to do is just give you some space. Ron's going to play, and I'm just going to ask you to pray. If you're here as a family unit and you want to pray, kind of huddle together and pray together, that's fine. If you want to pray individually, if you want to pray out loud and not worry about what other people hear and all those prayers will be going up, that's fine. If you want to pray silently, that's fine. But we're just going to let you pray. And then every minute or so, I'm going to read another passage of scripture. And as I read those passages of scripture, again, I encourage you to listen to the promises of the scripture. Pray those scriptures. Remember last week I talked about this culture of prayer, that one of the best things we can do is pray the promises of scripture over our kids, over our friends, over our neighbors. We're going to pray the promises of scripture over Kayla and Kevin, and we're going to believe God for good things. So I'm just going to give you a minute to pray. Again, I'll read a few scriptures and we'll just keep praying, and then we'll keep going in the service. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 40, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. From the book of Malachi. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. I love that image. Jeremiah 17, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Psalm 6, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. Psalm 34 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Amen. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Psalms 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Psalm 107, he sent out his word and healed them, and he delivered them. That you do something. I'm going to ask that you just take one hand and put it out towards the Dupree home, which is right over there somewhere. I think I'm pointing in the right direction. And I'm just going to pray, and we're just going to put our hands out towards them. And Lord, I just pray that you would renew their strength. They are weary. They are in shock. Lord, I pray that you would bring a peace that passes understanding into that home. I pray that your presence would be so powerful that they would be amazed at what they are experiencing with you. And Lord, I pray in this moment that, power would go from this place and that, Kayla would feel your healing touch. Lord, we know that you can. We believe, Lord. Help our unbelief. We believe. We ask for a miracle. We ask for a miracle for this baby. We ask for a miracle for Kayla. We ask for a miracle for the Dupree family. Lord, we stand on your promises. With just a word, everything can be different. So, Lord, we pray that you would heal our sister. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a couple more ways that you can help us out. So Kayla's birthday is June 5th. So I have set my alarm daily for 6:05 p.m. So I'm going to ask you to take out your phone and set your alarm for 6:05 every day. I set my alarm yesterday, and Meg and I were in the kitchen cooking when my alarm went off, and it just was a reminder for us just to grab hands and to pray for the Dupree family. It's a great time because most of you won't be at work. Some of you might be, but you can be home. That alarm will go off. It'll just be a reminder for you to pray for them daily. Look, it matters. You know that, church, right? If we are willing to pray for them, it will make a difference, right? Right. So let's pray for them. Let's be available. So often I think we say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Right, but we don't always get around to it in the way that we should anyway, and we are going to pray for them. So 6:05 is a great time to set your alarm. If you don't know how to do that, as I usually say, ask somebody younger than you and they can do it for you. But set it to just go off every day. When it goes off, if you're with somebody, pray with them. If you're by yourself, pray for them. Pray for peace. Pray for healing. Pray for the girls who have to be just so overwhelmed. And they don't even have categories for this. I can't even comprehend it. So imagine being five, right? Pray for Kevin as he's separated from his wife and the primary caregiver. Pray for the family members that are flying in even today to take care of them, that they would have safe travels and that they also would be able to care for the girls well. And I would encourage you to listen. When your alarm goes off, just listen to what the Holy Spirit wants you to pray and pray as the Holy Spirit leads. But we have one more thing we're going to ask you to do this morning. Well, actually, a couple more things. We're going to take communion together. But I'm going to ask the ushers to start handing out some cards. And we are just going to write some notes to the Duprees. And we're going to deliver them to them. So there's no address on there. But you can just turn them in after the service. But they're going to come hand out cards. They got pens. If you want to do this as a family and just write one card, that's great. If you want to write each one individually, that's great. But we already have hundreds back there that we're going to take to them. We just want to overwhelm them with words of encouragement from us. So we're going to sing and we're going to fill out these cards for the Duprees. If you can't sing and write at the same time, it's okay. John will sing on our behalf. But once you're done, then you can sing. But maybe you're able to multitask like that. I know that I couldn't. But we're going to sing, fill out the cards. Again, hand those in after the service would be great. If you didn't get one, they're handing them out right now. Just wave them down. Again, they have pens. They got cards. Let's all take the time to write them a note. You can sit down if you like. Again, if you want to just turn the cards in afterwards, the ushers will just be in the back and they'll be happy to collect those afterwards. Mike's going to share a few more logistics and pray, and then we're going to move towards communion.
Yeah, so if you would like to do something tangible for the Dupree family, we'll be collecting Grubhub cards or DoorDash cards or Visa and MasterCard cards. As you can imagine, they're probably going to have unexpected expenses. So if you would like to help them out in that way, I know they would be very grateful. Also, we really want to protect their time together. In the next couple of days, Kayla was in the hospital all week, came home Friday night, and she'll be going back into the hospital tomorrow. And she won't be seeing her family for at least 3 weeks after that. So we're just going to ask you not to contact them today, to be in prayer for them. And if you have any questions, please bring your questions to the elders or the staff. I know this is a lot for all of us to process.
You can just email me.
Yep, email Doug or text me, or there's everybody's business cards are at the information counter, and we would be glad to process with you. And I know yesterday when I was praying, I was saying, God, how do I pray? I just thought there were a couple ways, and one way was I said, what if she was healed before the treatment even started? What if a lab tech right now is looking at her results and says, something doesn't add up here. Something's wrong. Let's run the tests again.
Yeah.
And they run the tests again, and there's no sign of leukemia. And God's like, yeah, well,
that'll be
I took care of it before the treatment started. And then the other prayer I felt the Spirit was prompting me to pray was that Kayla will go into labor naturally. I just think that would be such a relief for her mama heart, instead of having to be induced, that labor would start today. And that would be the baby's way of saying, I'm ready, mama. I'm coming on my own.
I'm praying the baby comes out with a big smile and two thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm coming on my own, and we're going to take care of you.
Yeah.
So, and I was reminded, too, we all know Kevin's story, that when he arrived here, he had Crohn's and was very sick and couldn't work for his first 3 months here. He was on 30 different medications. And Kevin is on zero medications today. And God has taken that family through a miraculous healing. And the story's going to repeat itself.
Yep, for sure. Thank you. You want to pray?
Yeah. Will you pray with us? Father, we thank you that you are life and you are love and you are the author of all things, and in you all things hold together. You are above us, sustaining us, presiding over us, and we just thank you, Father, that you are here with us, and we lift up the Dupree family to you. And we know that the doctors have a plan, and that's great. You use conventional medicine, and we thank you for it. And we ask that you would use it to care for Kayla. But you have a plan, and we pray that it's a much better case scenario than what the doctors have in mind, that the treatment would be shorter, that her body would respond favorably every step of the way, mm-hmm. and that she just, that what we think she's going to undergo is much less than that, because you're going to move in healing her body from head to toe in this process. And we also pray, Father, for the labor and delivery tomorrow. We ask that you would start the labor, and that Kayla's body would, that this process would be gentle, and that it would be quick, and that despite the extending circumstances, that the room would be filled with joy, that Kevin and Kayla would welcome their first son, that their hearts would just be so overwhelmed with your goodness, and that as new life comes forth, that would be a sign for them that you are renewing the life, that you are bringing healing to the family, and that this is just the beginning of a even more powerful ministry for them, and that you, Father, are going to get all the glory in this. You are going to defy all the odds. You are going to surprise them. You are going to provide for them at every turn. Just people are going to come out of every corner. And I know one of the things, Kayla being in the hospital for the week and not being able to see any friends or family, she said the nurses there were her family, that they just loved on her and took care of her. And we just know that you're going to surround her again with love, love, love. May she just feel suspended in your love. And Kevin and the family at home, and help us as a family to hold them up. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Thank you, babe. Hey, we are going to take communion together. And one of the things I would encourage you, if you don't have a communion cup, I put some down here. You're welcome just to come on down and wander down here and grab one. That would be great. We will take the elements together. But we're just going to give you a minute to reflect and pray. And here's what we know. Kevin and Kayla are not the only people in our body who are going through some health issues. And so maybe just use this time to pray for your friends. Meg and I have a list of people we pray for almost every night by name, who we know are just going through some major health stuff as part of our church. So use this time to pray there. If you too are having any kind of physical, emotional, spiritual struggles, this is a great time. The scripture says, examine yourself, bring it to the Lord. So just do that in the next minute as Ron plays, and then I'll come up and we'll take the elements together. Tell us that on the very night that Jesus was betrayed, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, you know that there were no surprises in the crucifixion. Jesus knew about the beatings. He knew about the ridicule. He knew about the nails. He knew about all of it. And it was the very night before that he knew about his closest friends betraying him. The scriptures say he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you take it, remember me." And the scriptures tell us in the same way, he took the cup, Elijah's cup, the cup of sacrifice, and he said, "This is my blood shed for you." It's a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink it, remember me. The gospel accounts tell us that as the disciples finished the meal, they left the upper room singing a hymn. And so our tradition here at Grace is that we end communion by singing together. So I encourage you to stand. John and Ron are going to lead us in one more song as we get ready to depart.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
This email from Kevin after the first service says, thank you. You guys have really displayed what the body of Christ looks like. We've always felt like family, and this is just another example. We're going to get through this, and God will be glorified. So if you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. We have some gifted prayer people that can meet you down here in front. If you're online, you can just call that number and they will place you in an individual prayer appointment with a trained prayer person. Physical need, spiritual need, maybe a little bit of both. We believe that God is in the business of miracles and we would love to lay hands on you and pray for you appropriately. So if you want to come down here and get prayer, that would be great. God bless you. Continue to pray. Set your alarms for 6:05. Prayer and fasting tomorrow for the Duprees. Prayer works and prayer makes a difference. If you are part of the youth ministry, I will be here Wednesday, and we're going to do something very similar where you can write some cards to Kevin and Kayla, and we'll worship together. But I just want you to know I'll be here with you on Wednesday, and we'll process what God is doing with the Duprees. And we will also let you know the minute that baby boy is born and healthy, okay? Yes. God bless you.
Not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need I was yet searching the world for more. The truest friend I have indeed, you're my best friend, I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me, I need you right away. The agony of being alone, fear of doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong.